The word of the Lord from Mark 2, 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord. Kale and I share a love of musicals. We see every show that we can at the Hobby Center here in town, and we'll travel to New York to see new musicals. We love the magic of Broadway, the stories and the songs and the retelling of good and evil in a new way. But there is one musical that I've seen more than any other. I have had a lot of opportunities to see the musical Wicked. Over a dozen times, actually. I first heard the music my senior year of high school when I was in show choir, and I was instantly hooked. When I studied abroad in Oxford 2 years later, I saw Wicked for the first time in London, and I wept. I still cry every single time I see it. Growing up with the classic movie, The Wizard of Oz, I love that Wicked offers a different perspective of the same story. I'm pulled to consider that maybe Elphaba, aka the Wicked Witch of the West, isn't so wicked after all. Maybe she's just misunderstood, and trying her best to pursue justice and goodness, she's just clumsy and new at magic. And maybe Glinda the Good is more than she seems. Maybe she is confused and trying her best to be good, but also feels weighted by the expectations of the world around her. Both of them wanting to help others, and both of them failing in different ways. Because isn't complexity part of being human? Who of us is fully good or fully wicked? Even the simplest tale or interaction can have multiple stories that are all true at the same time. When I prepare for a sermon, I love to use different spiritual practices to sit in the text, to sit in scripture. And as I was sitting with this passage from Mark for the last couple weeks, I found myself using a practice called Ignatian imagining, where you sit in different perspectives of the text. I wondered how all of these characters would tell this story of what happened. And I wondered what I would experience in all of these different perspectives of the story. Because I think each story has something that we can hold on to as we look at the story in a different way. So I'm going to invite you to do that with me today. What word does God have for us as we sit in this story together? So up first, we have the crowd and the scribes. Imagine with me. The news has spread. Jesus is back in town. You rush to the home that Jesus is at, and Jesus is doing what he does best, speaking a word to the people. The house is overflowing. There's not even enough room to stand. Perhaps you see a window around back and stick your head through, straining to hear what Jesus has to say. We don't know what Jesus was saying, but it was compelling enough to draw a crowd. And as you're listening, you look around. You see your neighbor, also enthralled by the words. You see the scribes up front, watching Jesus and listening carefully. You can see they're listening with some suspicion. And then you see four men carrying a man on a mat. They're trying to find a way into the house, but it's not possible. You don't mind the four men. You just keep listening to Jesus, even as you're pushed against the house as the crowd grows behind you. But as you're listening, you see straw and mud start to fall from the ceiling, and suddenly there's light pouring in from up above. The four men have made a hole in the roof, and now they are lowering their friend down right by Jesus. People are moving back, trying to make space in a house where there is none. And as you see a paralyzed man laying before Jesus, you hear Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven." Is Jesus allowed to say that? Only God can forgive. What is he thinking? Immediately, you see the scribes begin to whisper among themselves, and they are not happy. But Jesus somehow knows what they're saying and looks to them, saying, "What is easier to say to a paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Take up your mat and walk?'" A murmur floats through the crowd. Forgiveness and healing are both impossibilities, right? Jesus isn't done, though. He keeps speaking. "But so you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins." And then Jesus turns to the paralyzed man and tells him, "Stand, take your mat, and go home." And you see it with your own eyes. This paralyzed man stands up. He glances up to the hole in the ceiling to see his friends, and he picks up his mat, pushing his way out of the crowded house. What an incredible sight. You have seen Jesus heal a paralyzed man so that this man might also know that he's forgiven. Everyone around you starts to praise God and give God glory for this miracle that you have just witnessed together, something no one has ever seen before. But I wonder if the four friends experienced it differently. So imagine this story with me. You just heard the news. Jesus is back in town. You immediately think of your friend, the one who is paralyzed and has had a rough go of it lately. You've heard the rumors, the stories of Jesus casting out demons and healing the sick and performing all kinds of miracles. It seems impossible, but there has to be some truth to it, right? So you grab your three friends from the synagogue, and the four of you go straight to your friend's home. Your friend's wife is confused to see you at this time of day, and why are you in such a hurry? But there is no time to waste. You grab his mat and get him out the door, because if he could just see Jesus, you know that your friend's life would be changed. You just know it. But you get to the house, and it's too late. You can't even see inside. The crowd is already too big. You and your friends put your heads together because this is important. This might be the only shot you get to see Jesus, and your friend needs this. And thank goodness one of the four is a resourceful man. Maybe he's an engineer or a contractor, because he sees the stairs around the back and he has some rope, and now we have plan B. You carry your friend up the stairs, careful not to jostle him. You begin to pull on the straw and the mud from the house. The hole is small, but you pull until it grows bigger and bigger, until it's big enough that you can lower your friend inside on his mat. As you lower him, you see everyone watching you from below, trying to see who is doing this. And as your friend hits the floor, you see Jesus look up. Maybe you're a little embarrassed about the lengths that you've gone through to get your friend there. You destroyed a neighbor's roof, for goodness sake. But you had to. Your friend couldn't get there himself. As Jesus looks up at the four of you, you wonder what it is that Jesus sees. Does he see your love? Does he know the desperation? Can he indeed help your friend, or were the stories you heard just rumors? No, they have to be true. Today is the day that your friend's life will change. Jesus sees something in your eyes, and you know it because he looks at you differently. And then Jesus turns to your friend and says, "Your sins are forgiven." You're taken aback. This is not what you came for. You came for a miracle. No, scratch that. You need a miracle. And you see the educated leaders at the front begin to whisper. What do you do? Do you pull him back up? Do you run down and help your friend get out of the house? But then Jesus turns to the scribes and says, "What is easier to say to a paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk? But so you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins." And then Jesus turns for your friend and looks him in the eye and says, "Stand, take your mat, and go home." And then with your own eyes, you see your friend. He stands up. He looks up at you, both amazed and in disbelief about what just happened. He stood up on his own. He walks out, and you begin to weep because you know. This Jesus is the real deal. You were right to believe the stories, to rush over here. Your faith was in the right God, the only God who can heal and forgive. Nothing will ever be the same. Third, we have the story of the paralyzed man in need of healing. Imagine with me. You are paralyzed, stuck at home. It feels like life is passing you by. Do you have a purpose? You know what the world says about you. Your neighbors mostly forget about you, and when they do remember you, they act like this disability is your fault. Or worse, they pity you. You have your family and a few friends, but this isn't what you wanted in life. This isn't the reality that you dreamed of watching the world pass you by. But one day, your four closest friends rush over. "Hurry," they say, "get dressed. We have to go right now. Jesus is here. He's here in town." But what's the point of rushing? It's just another day. Before you even have a chance to think, you're out the door, being carried on your mat by your four friends. This is not what you expected the day to hold when you woke up this morning. You notice other neighbors rushing along the same road, all going to the same place, but faster than you, because your friends are having to carry you along. When you want to walk on your own two legs, it is so frustrating to depend on others to get you from point A to point B, even if they are your closest friends. You try to be grateful. You're lucky to have them. When you get to the house, you raise your neck, and all you can see is a sea of people. There's no way you can get inside. And what's the point anyway? What would happen if you could? But you see your friends come up with a plan, and they carry you up the stairs. They tie ropes to the corner of your mat and begin to destroy the roof. "Stop," you tell your friends. "This is crazy. What are you doing?" But they keep going as you lie there on your mat. And before you know it, they're lowering you. You're not entering the house through a door, but a ceiling. And as you begin to lower, you see the faces of your four friends above you. You're not sure why you're here, but they seem confident. They don't look at you with pity. but with hope, with excitement. Man, are you thankful for their friendship, even if they are crazy, running you across town and destroying roofs on a Tuesday morning. You hope they know a good lawyer. And as you hit the floor, you look up and you see Jesus. Yes, you've heard the stories, but what good are stories? You can't move. You see Jesus look up at your friends and you wonder what he sees. Then Jesus looks right at you, not with pity like you might expect, but in loving authority. And you hear Jesus say to you, "Your sins are forgiven." What? What does that mean? You don't even know why you're here. What do you need to be forgiven for? Immediately, you hear scribes begin to whisper among themselves, and Jesus turns to them, saying, "What is easier to say to a paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Take up your mat and walk?' But so you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins." Time slows down. You hear the noise of the crowd. They don't know what to believe. But Jesus has turned to you and said, "Stand up, take up your mat, go home." Maybe you believe Jesus, or maybe you don't. But either way, there's no harm in trying, right? You try to move your legs, the same thing you have done a million times, but this time, it's different. This time, your leg moves. You can't believe it, and you can't explain it, but somehow you find yourself standing. You look at Jesus completely shocked. "Is this happening?" But Jesus isn't surprised. He gently smiles at you and gestures for you to grab your mat. You hear your friends shouting above you, and you see their tears and grins. You hear the crowd around you amazed and giving glory to God. The impossible has just happened. The thing you have longed for, you walk home on your own 2 feet. And finally, I wonder how Jesus experienced it. So imagine with me one more time. You are back in Capernaum, in a home you're familiar with. You've been traveling around Galilee, sharing the good news of God's kingdom here on earth. People keep coming to you in need of healing. The lepers and the demon-possessed and those with illnesses of every kind. But today, in this home, you're here to do what you've been sent by God to do. To speak a word to the people. To tell them the good news. To remind them of who and whose they are. The house is full, overflowing, in fact. How did this many people hear you were back in town so soon after you arrived? So many ears eager to hear. And as you speak, you see pieces of straw and mud begin to fall from above. And then more. You look up and see a small hole quickly getting bigger. You see several sets of hands pulling back the roof. But you keep sharing the news that you've been called to share. But then the murmurings of the crowd are getting louder. People are distracted by whatever's happening. And as you look up again, there's now a human-sized hole in the roof, and you see a mat being lowered by 4 ropes, 4 sets of hands slowly and carefully sending the mat down right by you. The crowd is backing up to make space, even though there is no space left to make. As the mat hits the floor, you look curiously and see a paralyzed man. You look up and see 4 faces staring back at you. You can't miss what's in their eyes. Exhaustion, of course, but something deeper. Hope. Faith. They have brought their friend here to see you because they believe you can do something to help their friend. You see their faith and want to act because you see this man beyond his disability. You see his weary heart. Moved, you turn to the paralytic and say, "Your sins are forgiven." But as you say those words, you hear the scribe start to whisper. And you know what they're saying. "How can he say that? Only God can forgive sins." Oh yes, this again. People want the miracles, but they don't know what to believe about the Son of God part. So you turn to the scribes and say, "What is easier to say to a paralytic? Your sins are forgiven? Or take up your mat and walk? But so you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins." And then you turn to the paralyzed man and tell him, "Stand up, take your mat, and go home." And he does. This paralyzed man stands up. Immediately the crowds begin to give glory to God. God forgives sins, and God has sent you with God's own authority. You prove it by healing the paralytic. Healing a man's body and forgiving his heart so that he can start anew. Healing what is seen as proof of what cannot be seen. So why am I sharing all four of these stories today? Because I have been all four of these people. And you have been all four of these stories. And Bearing has been all four of these stories. We have been the crowds. We have seen the beauty of forgiveness. We have seen the beauty of healing. We have seen how they intertwine and been amazed as God brings new life out of darkness. And we've been the friends. We have been the community surrounding those who need healing. We have seen what our friend has needed, and we have made it happen on their behalf. We have rushed them to the feet of Jesus. We have believed for them when they could no longer believe for themselves, and we could pray for them when they could no longer say the words to God. We have sought healing on behalf of others so that they might be forgiven and given a new start. And you and I have been the paralyzed man in desperate need of healing, sick and weary and without hope, needing forgiveness. And sometimes we haven't even known that we have needed forgiveness or healing, but we have had friends who have gathered us up and held us accountable and acted on our behalf to make it happen. And we have been Jesus. On our best days, we open our eyes and take the opportunity to partner with God, to work in the world around us and the work that God is already doing. We choose to offer forgiveness to one another, and that forgiveness brings healing. And sometimes we offer healing to one another, and that healing leads to forgiveness. We get to participate in the kingdom of God here on earth as we forgive and therefore heal, and as we heal and therefore forgive. Last week in Mark 1, we talked about healing as mission, and that is our mission, our calling as followers of Jesus. We seek our own healing so that we can be light in the world around us. We create and provide spaces of healing for one another and for the world around us. But we expand that mission to remind one another that healing is forgiveness. Jesus forgives us so that we can be healed, but he also heals us so that we can be forgiven. We forgive ourselves so that we can be made whole. We forgive one another so that we can grow as a healed community. We forgive the world around us so that we don't carry the weight of the world. And I don't know which perspective, which story you need to hear today. Today, you might need to hear about individual healing and forgiveness. You might resonate with the story of the paralyzed man. Perhaps you don't know what part of yourself needs to be forgiven. You don't know if healing is possible. And to you, Jesus says, "You are forgiven. Stand up, take your mat, Pick up your mat. Pick up those things that you used to depend on that you no longer need. And walk out of here, now able to do everything that you couldn't do yesterday. You are healed. You are forgiven. Or perhaps you resonate with Jesus in the story. Maybe you need to offer healing and forgiveness to those in your life. Maybe you need to forgive those around you so that they can find healing. And maybe you need to forgive those around you so that your own heart can heal as well. And tomorrow, we might need to hear about communal healing and forgiveness. We might resonate with the story of the four friends. We all come to Jesus in need of healing. And while we can't heal the whole world from here, we can carry one person at a time. We, the Bearing family, might be called to have faith for our loved ones who don't have any to spare right now. So we carry them. We bring them to Jesus, and we believe that they will be healed and forgiven. We believe the impossible, and we believe the impossible on behalf of others. We trust in God's healing for one another, because that is how we take care of family. To forgive that our hearts may be healed. To forgive that our relationships may know reconciliation. To forgive that we will know the healing power of God. And maybe we resonate with the crowd. Maybe we will see the forgiveness that comes from healing. Maybe we'll see the healing that comes from forgiveness. And we will be amazed. We will give glory to God and spread the good news. News that the Son of Man has every authority to heal and forgive and to offer us relationship with our Creator. News that the kingdom of God is here. And this kingdom is all about widening the circle. This is the good news, that in every one of us, Jesus has healed in what is seen as proof that he has healed what is unseen. May we heal so that we are forgiven. May we forgive so that we are healed. Amen.